In the name of God, the Creator, Liberator, and Sustainer of the universe. Amen. Our first lesson this morning is from the fifth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And it says, Moses said, observe the Sabbath as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall do work, but on the seventh day, as the Lord your God commanded you, you shall keep the Sabbath. You shall do no work, neither you, nor your sons, or your daughters, or your ox, or your donkey, or any other livestock you have around the place. None of your workers shall do any work. They shall have a day off, because the Lord your God has commanded you to rest. 6 days you can work, but on the seventh day you shall do no work. That is the fourth commandment, and it is by far the longest of all the commandments. For 20 years, I worked as both a chaplain and professor at Rutgers University in the great state of New Jersey, the Garden State. And during that time, one of my closest colleagues and friends was the conservative rabbi who headed the Hillel Foundation, the Jewish campus ministry on the Rutgers campus. Norm and I often engaged in very profound conversations, and on this day, we were talking about the difference between sort of nominal Christians and dedicated Christians. And I asked him if there was a clear definition between a secular Jew and a religious Jew, because the term has both ethnic and religious meanings. You can be an ethnic Jew and not be a religious Jew, maybe. He said, without question, yes, a religious Jew is one who keeps the Sabbath. If you do not keep Sabbath, you are not a religious Jew. Keeping the Sabbath is central to the Jewish faith, to the biblical faith, he said. And then he said, I have a question for you. I said, fire away. He said, why do Christians say they believe in the Ten Commandments, and I have never met one who keeps the Sabbath? I thought for a moment, and I said, well, to tell you the truth, Norm, we have trouble with more than just the Fourth Commandment. The Sixth Commandment, for example, thou shalt not kill, primarily means to us that we don't kill white people unless they're stealing our lawnmower, and then we shoot them. Oh, he said. But I said, with the fourth commandment, it's a little different. I said, the fourth commandment is that we're sort of like the Pharaoh in Egypt. We are far more committed to the God of production and consumption than we are to any Sabbath-giving God of rest. Oh, he said, the Sabbath is given for those who were weary and heavy laden. The Sabbath is given for those whose lives know ongoing anxiety. The Sabbath is given for those who have not had the freedom to rest. The Sabbath is given for those who do not have time to be either human or holy. It is a profound question why we do not observe the Sabbath. The context of the Sabbath is that the Hebrew people had been enslaved in Egypt. They had been enslaved by the Egyptian Pharaoh after Joseph had died. And the Pharaohs were committed to a god and a system of production and consumption. Production and consumption. If you produced a lot, you were important. If you had a lot, you were an important ruler. If you consumed a lot, you were important. If you didn't produce a lot or consume a lot, you were nobody. You were defined in this system by what you produced and consumed. The motto was, in our language today, the market above all else. In that system, there was no room for rest for those who were called to constantly be producing more grain, building more storage houses, digging more gold, creating more gold-plated objects, building bigger palaces, and developing bigger and faster chariots. There was no rest for those who were supposed to be part of the military that was to protect this entire system, the Egyptian way of life. The system also created desires and wants. You wanted a bigger chariot, you wanted a bigger palace. And increasingly you knew frustration. Increasingly you had feelings of inferiority. Increasingly you did not feel fulfilled as a human being. You felt less. But still you felt that you should have more and more, and that you should do whatever possible to get it. The system demanded, of course, that the Hebrew slave was never given any rest time, because they had to be engaged in the primary work that made all of this possible. Now, the Bible story is that the God who created the heavens and the earth, the God who, by the way, rested on the seventh day, the God who didn't look back and say, well, maybe if I messed with this man a little bit more, I could create a better creature. Didn't do that. God rested. That God acted in human history. You know, in the Bible, it's very important for us as Christians to know this. In the Bible, salvation is almost always a historical question. A historical question. Salvation occurred for the Hebrew slaves by being brought out of Egypt, being set free. God heard their cry and brought them out of the production commodity system that reigned in Egypt. Whenever Moses had spoken of a little freedom or going to worship God, the Pharaoh had increased the work that the people had to do. You not only work 40 hours a week, you work 80 hours a week if you begin to talk about freedom and rest. But God acted and brought the people out of that system and started them on a journey. And then in the context of freedom, in the context of the God of freedom setting God's people free, in that context of coming out of slavery, God gives the people the commandments. And the longest commandment was the fourth. You shall rest. You are no longer a slave. You don't have to work all the time. You can rest. You are to keep the seventh day as a day of rest. On that day, you shall do no work. You know, in the Bible, atheism is not just a question of what you believe and think. It's also a question of following. If you do not rest, if you do not work to make sure that all people have time to rest, if you do not care about whether workers are abused, then you are an atheist. You are not a follower of the God who said, do no work on the seventh day. You're not a follower of the God who rests on the seventh day. In our society, we have the great distinction of working far more than any people in the developed world. We love to talk about how busy we are. We love to talk about how busy we are. We love to work all the time. And that technological advance that was supposed to create leisure time has enabled us to work 24 hours a day. When I worked in New Hampshire, Dartmouth College, the Appalachian Trail went right through Hanover, New Hampshire. On a regular basis, I would see young lawyers, doctors, executives coming off the trail, you know, at their iPhones, etc., texting their offices, checking to see when the next meeting, checking their bank statements, all of this. They never stop working. They never stop working. We also increasingly become aware that we don't have time to do many of the things that we consider just basic human things. We say we don't even have time to go to the grocery store unless it stays open until 11 o'clock at night. We come home from work and we make sure we do our bank statement online before we go to bed at 11 or 12. And then we remember that we need to check to see what we might need to buy on Amazon.com. And then we get to bed at 1 o'clock and so we can get up by 6 and get in the traffic and go to work. But increasingly we discover that those things that are promised by the production economy God do not fully satisfy. We get one thing and then we want a bigger chariot. We get one palace and then we want another palace. We get one gold-plated object, and then we want another gold-plated object. And we find ourselves, again, saying, I don't have time to do anything. The Bible calls us to be intentional about keeping the Sabbath. We don't know how to do that. We don't know how to do that. And we are scared to death to do nothing. We are scared to death to divest ourselves of our own will and seek to have God's will done in our lives. We are scared to death to do what the great Trappist monk of the last century said, is to learn to enter into contemplation, which Merton defined as doing nothing in the presence of God. Doing nothing in the presence of God. We need to learn that we are not what we produce or what we consume. We need to learn that we are created in the image and likeness of God. We need to learn that in the 11th chapter of Matthew's gospel, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will allow you to do nothing in my presence. I will give you rest, and I will restore you." We forget that Jesus also said in the 6th chapter of Matthew's gospel, no person can serve two masters. Either you serve the God of rest, or you serve the God of production and commodities. In the Bible, salvation questions are always historical. We need to learn how to keep Sabbath. It will probably be the most difficult thing we ever try to do if we try to do it. It's almost impossible for us. We might start with small things. Set aside a day when we just set aside more time to pray, more time to meditate, more time to read poetry, more time to listen to music, more time to eat dinner with family and friends. More time just to relax, take longer naps. And above all, cut off email. Don't buy or sell anything. And just be. Just be in the presence of God. That process will be a process and not perfection, because most of us will not be able to do the simple things that I just suggested. But again and again, we must realize that what we are being asked to learn is to accept freely the grace of God, which is given to us freely, not because of what we do, not because of who we are, but because we are God's beloved sons and daughters. Every Sunday we come to this Eucharist, a Greek word which means thanks. Every Sunday we are fed, and there's enough for everyone. And every Sunday we learn that in spite of what our culture tells us, there is such a thing as a free lunch. There is. God's grace is freely given. God asks us today, the salvation question that arose from the people of Egypt being enslaved by Pharaoh. And the question simply is, how far out of Pharaoh's system do you want to come? How far out of Pharaoh's palace do you want to move? The answer to that question will determine whether or not we as Christians decide to keep the fourth commandment or not. We do not want to create legalistic systems. Jesus fought that, as we see in our gospel reading today. But we do need to take very seriously the free grace of God and the call to simply be in the presence of God. Let there be peace among us, and let us never be instruments of our own or anyone else's oppression. Amen.